At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Carter's has your family covered for every summer first. First steps, first swim lesson, or first sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents have their best summer ever, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Generations of families have trusted our must-haves for babies, toddlers, and kids. Designed to shine season after season. Visit Carter's.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
We are here at 11 o'clock talking Cubs, talking White Sox, talking trade deadline only 2 weeks away with Bruce Levine. I'm David Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome back inside the clubhouse. And now we go out to the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline, home of the largest sports book. And that is where we find terrific analyst for Marquee Sports Network, former Cubs reliever, Sean Marshall. Good morning, Sean. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, David? How you doing, Bruce? Thanks for having me on the show this morning, guys.
Thanks for getting up. It was a late one. So let's start, Sean. The Cubs now with 15 games of the next 19, they play opponents that have 500 records or worse. It's an opportunity for the team on the field. We all know what's going on off the field. How would you describe this next couple weeks for the Cubs from a former player's perspective?
Well, I think that the upcoming weeks are as equally as important as the previous 3 weeks, minus this All-Star break they had this week. That was kind of a telling tale of who the Cubs are. They obviously went through the skid for about 3 weeks. For the first week, they were losing games. The Brewers were losing games, so they weren't losing much ground in the division at the time. But then they went on the 11-game losing streak while the Brewers excelled against opponents like the Diamondbacks, who the Cubs are playing now, and the Rockies in the previous month. So looking at, you know, being the optimist that I am, I'm always trying to be positive, and I'm a huge Cubs fan, and I always encourage on the broadcast, maybe a little bit too much at times, but I think this next 10 days out of the 14 days before the All-Star break really is going to tell the rest of the Cubs' season as far as these veteran guys being moved on to different teams to compete for teams that are possibly contending for playoff runs. But I think the Cubs can put themselves back in the mix here. I just think the Brewers are good, obviously. They've played well over the past month. The Reds have played well. The Cardinals are in limbo, a lot like the Cubs were over the past 3 weeks. But, you know, there's some big decisions to be made, obviously. And we saw the Jock Peterson trade just a day or two ago, kind of tipping the Cubs' hand, Jed Hoyer's hand here. But, you know, I think the team can remain competitive, even if they lose some of the veteran players. But it's, you know, we will see here with strength of schedule for the Cubs. I think they have the ability to win out the rest of the month, at least two-thirds of these games coming up as far as strength of schedule is concerned, and maybe put themselves in the mix. And I'm always positive. I'm looking for the bright sides of things, but it's a team that did not play to their capability over the past month, and it was tough to watch. It was tough to cover at times, trying to sway on positive things, but the team is good. The bullpen's strong still. Starters have been hit and miss, but better lately with Alec Mills being back in the rotation. Hendricks was outstanding again last night. So, you know, I don't deal too much in the front office conversations, obviously, but I just want to sway on the side of positivity here, and I think the Cubs can still continue to contend in the division here going forward, but we will see.
That's the voice of Sean Marshall. He's the analyst for Marquee Sports Network, does a terrific job there. And, Sean, you've been in these situations before. You've been on teams that were a borderline in and out of. You've seen guys on the trade block before. You've been there yourself. Take us inside the locker room and give us a little idea about what it's like to be on a team where you know pieces are going to be traded. You may be one of them, and how you keep it together and how you keep your focus during those times. How much conversation goes on between the teammates about encouraging each other to be able to focus on that day?
And I think it's a lot of the cliche talk. You hear Rizzo talk about it in post games, and KB talks about being involved in trade talks and et cetera. For me as a player, my circumstance was different. I was just traded one time, and that was during the Cubs rebuild. That was in the offseason, right around Christmas of 2011. I spent 4 years with the Reds after that, from 12 to 15. But I knew my name was in trade talks, but it's a different circumstance for me because that was the offseason. You know, I didn't know where I was going to land coming up to spring training. So, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of say in what's going on. Obviously, as far as performance on the field, you put yourself into winning situations. And I always prided myself on playing my best. You know, whether my name was circling in trade conversations or, you know, and this is before when I played, it was before the social media, the boom, the easy access of information with Twitter, Facebook, et cetera, and being able to just see things just come right onto the media waves. So these players can see those things, obviously, in a big market of Chicago. So my big thing was just to focus on what you can control, and that's on-field performance. It's work you put in between outings and appearances, and just let it go. I mean, it's nothing that you can control, and baseball is obviously a very big business. And in my opinion, you're just kind of a piece to the chessboard. You know what I mean? You can be moved at any time, and it's something that you sign up for. You're very well aware of it as a player, that your life can uproot and move to a different city in hours. It really can happen. I've seen players traded during trade deadline stuff back in August before it was July 30th trade deadline as it is now, and they just go from dugout to dugout. So you just see guys being moved around. So it's important as a player to control what you can control, and that's what you do on the field, in between the lines, and just play hard. And whether you end up in a different city that's not contending or you end up in a city that's contending, it's control what you can control, and what you can control is your effort on the ball field and the work that you put in and trying to avoid distractions of trade rumors, talks, et cetera. So that's just the way I kind of think about that, Bruce.
So along those lines, Sean, and we're joined by Sean Marshall from the Marquee Sports Network. So that's the uncertainty that the Cubs not only really created but announced when Jed Hoyer said that they're going to be sellers. I think everybody understood what he was saying a week ago Thursday because of those business realities you alluded to. But when you have that sort of orchestrated anxiety in a clubhouse, I'm sure it affects the main guys, the big names, because of their contracts. But how about everybody else? Is there a sense in there, do you think, from a former player's perspective, could you envision people being like, hey, what about us? We're still competing because we do think we can contend and get on a run, because they're probably having the mindset you just described that, okay, there's an opportunity here in the next couple of weeks to put ourselves in a better spot.
Yeah, and looking forward, if some big pieces do get moved, that creates opportunity for maybe someone that's been a bench player, like a Jake Marisnik or Sogard, who's now healthy, and Duffy here on the mend, gives them opportunities to play every day and boost their stock for the trade deadline or whatever. But if, you know, you just kind of control what you can control. And in my opinion, it's just it's in between the lines, and it's, you know, it's just a tough call. And they knew it going into this season, and when Jed Hoyer took over for Theo, that Jed's eye was on the present, and that they, obviously the present has was paid off for the first two and a half months of the season with the Cubs being in first place. And then the reality struck on the losing streak and put them back into a seller mode. Like early on, I thought the team could compete, and they were right in it, except for that tough struggle there for about 3 weeks. So as far as the big players being moved, I think that it's just the way it is, and you're going to miss your teammates if they do. I've been there. I've had a lot of different teammates, and it's tough to see guys go. I'm sure they did not like seeing Jock Peterson go, a great clubhouse guy, great energy on the field. But they just realized that that's part of the business, and it can happen at any given time. And if it happens to them, you got to turn the next, help your next team compete. And if your opportunity arises because a player got traded and moves to another team, take advantage of it.
Sean, last Saturday night, the Cubs had an awful game. Some of the at-bats were less than stellar. A lot of early swinging, a lot of pop-ups. Everybody was pretty upset about after the game, including Wilson Contreras, who voiced his opinion to the media about the effort wasn't good enough. What was your take on that, and how did it handle on teams that you were on when once in a while somebody would come out, say something about the entire team, and there would be a little bit of confrontation afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, we had the couple, you know, the argument stuff. We had a couple clubhouse issues with, you know, with a couple players going forward. But, yeah, I realized that that's the grind. And players like Wilson Contreras, who is no doubt one of the most hardworking players in all of Major League Baseball, catches more innings than any player, works hard, hustles, busts it out of the box. It's a team culture, and our fellow analyst and one of the color guys, Ryan Dempster, who is an old school type player, and some things that I learned from him, it's about showing good team chemistry, and that involves just running the bases hard and playing to win and hustling balls out, busting out the box, leaving it on the field every day. So with the grind of that losing streak, frustration sets in, and maybe you heard a little bit of Wilson doing that, but it's visible, and the energy wasn't very good in that little spell of losing streaks, and it was, you know, it was tough to cover, tough to watch, but it's part of the game. It's the ebbs and flows. You go through rough stretches, you go through positive stretches, but yeah, as far as controversy like that, I didn't have a big issue with it. I think that sometimes players need a little bit of a nudge from a veteran player like Wilson Contreras. Like, if we want to continue to compete, which we can, we know the team is good, everybody's got to work hard to win. And I think the All-Star break came at the right time for the Cubs. I think that the frustration was boiled over from the losing ground in the division. And all that kind of came to a head on that Saturday. And just wasn't aggressive comments by Wilson by any means. But I think sometimes a veteran needs to nudge the team. I think Wilson did that a little bit. You know, hopefully it didn't get any bad chemistry in the clubhouse, because it seems to be a good clubhouse and guys get along. They look like they have fun and get along with each other. And they're going to need to here for the next couple months, because the season is not over. It's just only halfway done. So you're going to be these guys' teammates for, you know, a couple more years, or who knows, a couple more weeks. But I think David Ross did a nice job of kind of stating how it was. And, you know, it was a non-issue, a nudge in the right direction. Sometimes the team is to do that. And Dave Ross did a nice job of controlling it. And I'm sure the team is back on track and good vibes after a couple of days off to clear their minds, reset, rest, get healthy. And it showed up in their performance last night in Arizona versus Diamondbacks for the victory.
I'm with you. What he said, I didn't think was that bad, and I think it needed to be said. So good for Wilson Contreras. I want to ask you a pitching question, though, Sean, before we let you go. When you look at a guy like Justin Steele, and you look around Major League Baseball at the way that there are some young pitchers being used to conserve their innings or being very cautious about their usage, What's the best way for the Cubs to implement Justin Steele into their into the equation? I don't know whether it's as a starter, as a spot reliever, or what role he will play. I only feel like he's good enough to where he's got to play a big role.
I think he will definitely play a big role, and how big of a role it is will dictate here shortly. I think he's doing a nice job. I think he did a tremendous job in his relief role, coming in some huge situations and building that confidence that you need to compete at the major league level. I think he earned that. He learned that. And I'm a big fan of his. I think that the stuff is really good. I think he has a starter mix. I think he was just two-pitch pitcher when he was coming in the relief role. He was coming a lot with a fastball and then the slurvy breaking ball, which was a power curveball and a lot of swing and miss on it too. But at times he flashed a changeup. So he's a three-pitch, four-pitch guy. And I think going forward, because maybe some uncertainty of guys being moved, opportunities being available to pitch and take some of those innings is important for Justin. I think not only for him, Keegan Thompson gets a chance to maybe stretch back out. You see Cole Stewart, I like his stuff. Corey Abbott, I like his stuff too. So there's four names right there who are probably going to be some of the future contributors here for the Cubs going forward in the rest of this season and going forward. So not only for just Justin Steele to come and learn at a capacity, maybe they roll to a six-man rotation, they piggyback some of these young guys together going forward. But I think the future looks pretty good as far as the arms being presented so far from the Cubs farm system. And a lot of these guys have had chances to learn so far. Even when the team was struggling, they've learned to struggle. They've learned what success feels like. Steele was good. Thompson was good. Cole Stewart's showing some flashes. I think Corey Abbott, again, like I said before, has good stuff too. So going from 60 games to 162, there's the innings to talk about, David, and they're going to need to be covered because they're, again, a little bit in uncharted territory compared to last season at this point in the season.
My last one for you, Sean, is you went from starter to reliever. How difficult is it, do you think, for a guy like Steele and Thompson to go from starter to reliever back to starter again?
You know, I think if you can pitch, you can pitch. And they're mostly starters coming up through the farm system. I think Justin Steele was forced into the relief role here early on. But, you know, when I did it, I just was so thankful for the opportunity to pitch at the big leagues, whether it was coming in as a lefty one-out guy, a swing guy coming in to start, maybe when Big Z threw his back out in Colorado hitting home runs, coming in on a last-minute notice. Remember that, Bruce?
Oh, yeah.
But I had just enjoyed – I'd enjoy that start because I never pitched good at Denver. My breaking ball just did not break, and my ERA was close to infinity, it feels like, at that ballpark. But I think all these players, these young guys, it's about the opportunity to pitch at the big leagues. And, you know, the difference in being a starter – and reliever, there's differences, of course. As a reliever, you come in, you're full on guns out. You're throwing your best fastballs. You're throwing your plus breaking balls for an inning or two, max effort. As a reliever, you got to finesse a little bit, and you got to maybe conserve some pitches, conserve the usage of some pitches. So a little bit of difference in that aspect. But for me, and in my personal opinion, whenever the ball was handed to me by Dusty Baker or Lou Piniella, Mike Quadi, Dusty again, Brian Price in Cincinnati, I was just so thankful to be handed the ball, whether it was a start, whether it was a short relief role. And I just, when I went down to the minor league levels, I worked as hard as I possibly could to get back to the big leagues because these young players need to learn. That's where you want to be. And I just think that the work that you put in down there in the minor leagues in the off season, even like Kyle Hendricks during the All-Star break there, bringing his personal catcher to work on some bullpen work on his downtime was huge. It just shows that you just never get content. You just continue to work. And then when you're presented with the opportunity, you take it, you run with it, you do your very best, whether it's for an inning or for six innings or seven innings, it doesn't matter. But the difference for me was, yeah, obviously the pitch usage. I became pretty much a two-pitch guy out of the bullpen, but as a starter, I was almost four pitches with the cutter and the changeup as well as the fastball and curveball. So, yeah, that stuff's important, but, you know, just be thankful for the opportunity and take it and run with it.
Sean, David and I appreciate you joining us very much. Keep doing that great job on Marquee Sports Network, and I'll see you in there in a couple days.
Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Bruce. Yeah, I love what you do on this on these shows, guys. And Bruce, I enjoy working with you at Marquee too. You're the best.
Thanks, Sean. Have a great day.
Former Cub and Red reliever, he rattled through those managers that he had played for. Quite an impressive, interesting list. Bruce, he did pitch for the Cubs, pitch for the Reds. Does a good job, really. I mean, he condenses things into really good nuggets in terms of understanding pitching and understanding the mindset of a player in that clubhouse. He's a really good analyst.
I've seen him do what he just described in his baseball career with his broadcasting career, starting out really, you know, starting at the beginning and really now working into being a top analyst, I think, on television. He's just very thorough, and I see him working hard when I go in there and do my occasional hits on Marquee Sports Network. It's fun to see people work like this that I saw working in clubhouses and bullpens, now doing it in studios before they go on to work in the studio.
And let's face it, Bruce, anytime somebody trots out the word slurvy, you know you're in the midst of a deep baseball conversation. Slurvy.
You hope so.
You hope so. You're right. We got a lot more to get to, Bruce. We have chin music. We've got should he stay or should he go. We've got a lot more before 11 o'clock when we come back here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Carter's has your family covered for every summer first. First steps, first swim lesson, or first sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents have their best summer ever, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Generations of families have trusted our must-haves for babies, toddlers, and kids, designed to shine season after season. Visit Carter's.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For some chin music.
Hey, Jan, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
Yeah, you know, we're a family in this clubhouse, so you go through things, you go through ups and downs together. So yeah, we all talk about it. We're just focused on staying in the moment, you know, leave the past in the past. We're trying to come into today a little fresh start, focus on the game today. Rossi kind of had that message for us too, and that's how all the guys feel, you know, just stay in the now, worry about the task at hand, and try and win ball games. That's really about it.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse. David Hall with Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock. Yes, we are playing Chin Music. I love the intro, Bruce. Love the music. That was Kyle Hendricks last night post games talking about staying in the now. I got to tell you, I love the segment, but I can't go high and tight at Kyle Hendricks here. I'm going low and away. I'm not giving any Chin Music. I'm pitching around a guy in the use the metaphor to death here, because what he said was understandable from the most rational guy in that clubhouse. Maybe the guy who is the most relatable for everybody watching the Cubs now. So I don't want to buzz the tower here, Bruce. I want to have some maybe 85-mile-per-hour changeup on the outside corner. That is probably the way I would approach this, because I get it. He's trying to stay in the now, and it's got to be pretty difficult given everything else swirling around.
Wasn't difficult for him. He goes out there and just throws the same game he's thrown probably the last 10, 12 times out. Yep. He right now, to me, you know, you have all your glitzy pitchers and your dominant pitchers. In a game right now, if I had to win a game, I would like to start Kyle Hendricks no matter what team I was on. And that's how good he's been over the last 2 months. But getting back to the conversation, which is directly involved with, as to what Contreras said last Saturday night after a dismal performance by the Cubs, you know, we all agree that what he said was right. The conversations that took place afterwards, from my information and talking to people off the record, is that from locker to locker, David Ross encouraged the players to handle this themselves. He was not going to tell people how to handle this. He encouraged that each guy goes from locker to locker and explain what they meant, why they said it, and straighten it out that way. He said that was the only way, from my information, that was the only way this was going to get solved. So what Hendricks is talking about here is that there were plenty of conversations Sunday when the Cubs had a rainout, and they lasted for a long period of time. The Rizzos, the Bryants, the Haps, the Hendricks, the Contreras's, talking about better effort and staying within the clubhouse there to stay solidified during these very tough times. I think all of them agreed, and I know you did, David, and so did I, with the sentiment that you heard from Wilson Contreras.
Yes.
They were playing awful baseball. They were not involved.
Yes.
That night they were ripping off the fans for not giving the best effort. You can't say that very much about the Chicago Cubs over the last 8 or 9 years.
Wasn't Kyle Hendricks essentially saying the same thing and talking about the need to stay in the now, essentially reminding everybody that his teammates need to continue to have that intensity and to have that what? Focus. Now, entirely different method than Wilson Contreras used. Entirely different personality. I would liken it to this, Bruce. We both have done a lot of traveling in our careers here. You get to the gate, and you look like, okay, you're going to have a delay, and you want to sit this seat, or whatever, you're having a problem with the gate agent. You go up to the gate agent. Some people get their way by being direct, abrasive, and almost borderline insulting, right? But you know what? They kind of get results. Other people are like, well, this is the person you want to sit next to on the plate. Very reasonable, very rational, very even-tempered. The Kyle Hendricks type of traveler. Both methods work. What we heard last night from Kyle Hendricks was maybe just a different approach, but he was saying essentially the same thing Wilson Contreras was saying.
Well, I'll add another that works with people that you want service from, and that is a $20 bill always has worked for me, okay? No matter where I've gone. I learned that very early on the south side of Chicago, and I didn't have 20 then, but I learned very early, if you want to cut the line,
okay,
you better have, you fold up the bill as small as you can, into your palm of your hand, and you shake hands with that person, and you get your result. But it has nothing to do with what you're saying. Your point is well taken, David, that there are different ways to get things done, and in a positive way. I think being a media person, having that to report, we all love that part. That yes. Hey, we got to. Not that they're fighting. I don't think as a reporter I enjoy hearing they're fighting, but that we got the insight into what was going on really in a player's mind in a clubhouse, and the fact that this was not working for him or the other players in that night, just as we envisioned it when we watched that horrible game.
You know what also, Bruce, you can relate to this. It's not just from a media perspective you like the conflict. You like the honesty. You respect the authenticity. This was who Wilson Contreras is. This was something that was definitely not orchestrated, not planned, not vetted or spun on a press release to protect this guy or that guy. This was just an athlete being competitive, calling out some teammates at a point in time where, frankly, we both agree they kind of needed it. So, I don't know. Moving forward, I think it will be interesting, though, because of what we talked to Sean Marshall about. Curious to think, following up on this idea, Bruce. Sean Marshall says, and I agree with him, you know, hey, the Cubs could make a little bit of headway here. They're playing some bad teams. They're not terrible. They could have some good pitching performances out of the rotation. Are there players in there that are like, yeah, what about us? You know, we're not part of this sell-off. We want to be remembered. We want to stay competitive. And maybe some people will seize the opportunity in front of them. But it's a very different dynamic now in that Cub clubhouse than there was 10 days ago.
The one thing that you don't know if it resonates is when a player plays hard and he's busting it, is he doing it for his team or for himself in these circumstances? Okay. Is he trying to hit a home run instead of a single to right field because it's going to be a plus for him as he gets traded, as his numbers go up when he goes toward free agency? That's the problem with this team all year long, is that you had 13 guys that were going to be free agents. Now, from Jed Hoyer's point, it was probably well thought out. We're going to have 13 free agents on this team, but they're all going to be busting their butt every day, not only for us, but for themselves, because they want to show people they're good players and they can play for their team going forward. But at a certain point, what might be forgotten is the player starts to play for himself and his numbers more than he does for that team and that situation on a given day to win that ball game.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I think that just to kind of close the loop on this Cubs thought for this segment, you know, so Cubs are trying to stay in the now. There's everybody else focused on the later, and that's got to be a different dynamic for a first-time manager. And I think David Ross, this is his first full season, so he hasn't really gone through this before. It was a different situation last year in the truncated season. How do you think he's doing, Bruce? He said before the game just how he's got to, you know, navigate through this. He acknowledged the challenge in saying goodbye to Jock Peterson, the first time he's had to do that. How challenging is it for David Ross, or does it matter?
You know, I think David, the ultimate team player, you know, when he was playing and, you know, certainly sold himself to everybody he ever played with and everybody that watched him, that he was that. I think that mentality as a manager, I think he lets us know that he has to be better and do better. Honestly, I believe that he's done as well as anybody could handling this team going up to that point. And that what really happened here wasn't a team that lost focus, but hit the reality of that the starting pitching isn't good enough, and the bullpen was overused. And I think he did as well as anybody possibly could in this situation, and that the real truth of what the team is showed up because of the facts that the starting pitching hasn't been good enough and the bullpen just had to pitch way too often.
Well put, Bruce. I think that's the fairest way to look at this from that perspective in terms of the manager's responsibility through kind of uncharted territory for him as a guy who's not been through this before, as a manager. We all know that David Ross was part of the 2014 Red Sox when they had a similar sort of sell-off. But let's wait and see how he's able to handle this as a manager. You know what? We have another segment left, Bruce, and I want to revisit something we talked about that crossed my mind as Bob Nightingale said it, and we should probably get back to it because it left a question mark probably in some listeners' heads as well. And we will do that when we come back here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Well, it would still be Escobar number one. And they pretty much all but agreed on a trade about, you know, 3 weeks ago. And then Escobar hurt his quadricep. He's still not running 100%. And then the reliever, the Diamondbacks are getting back. He had a little problem, had to get a cortisone shot. So that trade can happen, you know, at any time. That's going to be the cheapest trade as well, in a sense, you know. They're only giving up a reliever for him, so it wasn't a high price tag.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I'm David Haw with Bruce Levine. Well done, Sean Anderson. Who could it be now? And you heard the voice of Bob Nightingale when we talked to him earlier, Bruce, in the program about the proposed trade a couple weeks ago, Eduardo Escobar, for a White Sox player that we didn't know the identity of, and we still don't, but we can speculate because now we know it was a relief pitcher who required a cortisone shot, and that was part of the potential issue that came up as a roadblock in the deal. Who could it be now, Bruce? Who could it be?
I'll tell you who it wasn't.
Okay.
It wasn't Michael Kopech, and it wasn't Garrett Crochet. It definitely was not, you know, we're not going there. Look, it's not fair for us to speculate. We don't know. We don't have the that name. So to put a guy's name out there and hear that and hear people speculate about it, that just wouldn't be right. We don't have the information exactly. We do know that Bob Nightingale said it was a pitcher in the Sox organization coming back. And Escobar is a very good player, but he also admitted that Escobar isn't physically right yet. And that he's still dragging a leg, and it's from a hamstring. I think the White Sox have had enough guys with hamstring problems. I don't think the adding another one for the pennant drive on an older player, who's very good, by the way. Escobar is an excellent player and an excellent clubhouse guy. That might not be the way to go, but he certainly would fit in if he is healthy. You know, we've heard a lot about Adam Frazier from the Pittsburgh Pirates as well. Sure. You know, and that how he would be a fit. I think it would probably cost the White Sox more for Frazier, who has contract control after this year. Okay, so Escobar is a little different story.
It is a different story. I think it did perk my ears up, though, Bruce, because and then, you know, you try to, as we're kind of in real time, trying to reach out to some people and did hear from somebody who did confirm that it was somebody on the Major League roster. So that would be a Major League quality reliever going in to Arizona in the direction of the Diamondbacks for Eduardo Escobar, which I think is understandable, right, depending on the quality of the reliever. I don't know if that's still realistic or more realistic than some of the other issues. So it's just worth following up on and seeing whether it's going to happen. He also referenced, you know, Trevor Story, the Rockies shortstop, who we kind of tussled about earlier.
Right. I know you love the idea of it.
Well, okay, I want to revisit it a little, though, because I do like the idea of that bat in the lineup, because I think as we saw last night, when you score one run against the Astros, Lance McCullers was dealing 10 strikeouts in 7 innings. It reinforces this notion that against great pitching, you need every bat you can muster, every bat you can find. Trevor Story's a big bat. I would be willing to see how he would adjust and adapt to second base in the midst of a pennant race. You didn't like that idea. You poo-pooed it earlier, Bruce. I want to know why.
Because Eloy Jimenez is coming back, and that will be the firepower they need. Robert, hopefully, will be back in September. We don't know that. But I was open to Story in a clunky situation about making him play second base before I heard that Eloy was coming back. I think they're going to have enough firepower with Eloy coming back. I also think that the DH spot is going to be the play. You know, after talking to La Russa yesterday, you know, he said, yeah, he is, you know, he is playing a little bit of left field, but we're just going to be happy to have the bat in the lineup, which told you everything you needed to hear, that he was going to be the DH. So if that wasn't open to story either, you're not moving Tim Anderson, the face of the Chicago White Sox and the new young leader on this team, off of shortstop, even though Trevor Story is arguably a better shortstop.
No. No, he's not a better shortstop for the Chicago White Sox. Tim Anderson
That's
is your
right.
all-star shortstop.
That's
so
correct.
This has nothing to do with Tim Anderson. Actually, this is a compliment to Tim Anderson if you trade for Trevor Story. This says to Tim Anderson, you know what? We think that you are stable enough mentally and have enough confidence that you're not going to be shaken by the fact that we traded for somebody that's going to help us become a better team against teams that are 500 or better. Because right now, we're not. And you can handle this, Tim Anderson. Trevor Story, learn how to turn a double play at second base.
Learn how to – okay. And if that doesn't work out, I mean, you want this guy – first of all, the guy is going to balk at it. He won't professionally balk at it. But when he comes there and he has to play with his back to the first baseman and the runner coming down to make that double play – And his legs and his body is in jeopardy as he goes toward free agency in November, I think that is questionable. It's questionable as whether he would make that transition smoothly. I think it's asking a lot for maybe an overkill type player. You'll love to have him in the lineup with his bat, but if he doesn't fit on a team and he has other concerns, you wonder if this is the right move to make.
I would just submit that there were some similar conversations and concerns when Andrew Vaughn picked up an outfielder glove and was told, hey, learn how to play left field. First baseman, designated hitter, and to a lesser degree, Gavin Sheets, out of necessity, comes up from Charlotte. Hey, let's put him in right field. He's a natural first baseman. So the White Sox at one point had three infielders playing the outfield. This is the season of transition. This is the season of resourcefulness. They've got to MacGyver up the entire lineup. So why not get a guy who's an all-star hitter, play him at second base, and take your chances? Maybe not. I understand your points are valid, but
you're winning me over, David. You're winning me over because Trevor Story is a difference maker, okay? He certainly is, and you can't have too many of those going toward the playoffs. The cost of Trevor Story would be a lot different than Escobar, okay? It just would be. I mean, Colorado is probably going to trade him, but I don't think they're going to give him away. I mean, they might, at this point, they might be saying, well, you know, we like that kid Crochet. He's really good young pitcher. You know, we really like him a lot. I mean, what if they say, okay, you can have him. We want Jake Berger and we want Gavin Sheets. Are you good with that trade?
That's pretty pricey. I don't know that I would be. I think I need to wait to see. You're right. I mean,
it's Trevor.
You have to be cautious.
F. Story, right?
Right.
So
right.
Well, I mean, he could be, as you said, you know, one of the big difference makers in them being a playoff team or a team that goes to the World Series. So you're going to have to give up something really good for him.
Bruce, given your experience in intel, and I think this is fun to discuss, so we've talked about two of the three second basemen that have been the targets of speculation. How would the price for Adam Frazier compare to the price for the other two?
Yeah, it would be higher as well. They would be asking for a package like that too because Frazier has contract control, and he's a candidate to lead the league in hitting. And, you know, what wouldn't you like about the fact of Tim Anderson, a contact hitter, and Frazier at the top of the order? When summer turns to fall and colder weather and it's harder to hit a ball out of a ballpark, you have to manufacture runs. What wouldn't you like about Frazier and Tim Anderson leading off? There's a lot to like about that. He plays the position awfully well, and he can segue into helping you compete and win again in 2022.
I could be talked into liking that idea a lot, Bruce. And I think just to close the loop on the trade conversation today, You have a story on Chicago, on 670thescore.com about the Cubs' trade possibilities for finding a partner for Craig Kimbrell. And you list the Astros, Mets, Red Sox, and the Giants as being, and the A's as well as the fifth team. Who's next? Who goes next for the Cubs?
I think it's probably Chafin or Tapera. I think one of those two go, and I think you get something decent back because they've been lights out. They've been as good as any relief corps middle guys for the Cubs all year long.
Bruce, this was a lot of fun. Great stuff today. Great insight. We'd like to thank our guests, Bob Nightingale and Sean Marshall. Stay tuned here. We have Saturday Suckage with Mark Grody and Steve Rosenblum. They've got Vinny Duber at noon and Hub Arkish at 1 o'clock. Thank you for listening. And, Bruce, it's been a great week here. And keep up the good work. We'll talk to you on Monday at Mullion Hall.
David, it's been great. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine and on our website at 670thescore.com.
Thanks for listening. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Each year, KellyBlueBook.com ranks vehicles on the road for predicted future resale value. And for 2026, Toyota dominates the top of the list. 4Runner ranks number 3. The Tundra is number 2. And the Tacoma is number 1 overall again. The fact is, Toyota works hard on both ends of ownership. With special low APR financing rates available on Tacoma and Tundra right now at your local Toyota dealer. But also because you're getting trucks that are built to lead in affordability tomorrow. 4Runner, Tundra, and Tacoma are all expected to vastly outperform the average vehicle in resale value after 5 years of ownership, according to KBB, which can mean thousands more in your pocket when it's time to sell or trade in. That kind of affordability is hard to find anywhere else. So stop by your local Toyota dealer or visit Toyota.com and start shopping today. Projected resale value information is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Books KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.